Well, we did enjoy that picnic yesterday. It was very nice. I did see some people go back several times to fill the plate back up. The fellow that was by me said, especially one fellow that he remarked about, he said he's overdoing it. He's overdoing it. So, you just have to be careful, especially when you get a little older. Don't want to overdo it. You don't want to do it. You're going to pay for it. Be sure you got the tums ready and all those other things. You won't sleep good at night. You'll have dreams. Maybe even a nightmare. So be careful about how you behave yourself at the table, especially at picnics. You know, I'm thinking about what John Gordon said here a couple of Sundays ago about we wanted to focus on teachings from the Word of God. Doctrine says the early church, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching, in fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And I think that we are in agreement that when we hear someone preach, we would prefer that they stick to the Word of God. I have heard of people saying, I'm very disappointed. I never knew if that man was speaking from the Bible or not. It seemed like there were some thoughts there that were pretty close to what I've read in Scripture, but I'm not sure. But we want to be real sure. And so I trust that when you come on Sundays, I don't know of any time that I couldn't say that I could say with certainty, the Word of God will be open from this platform on Sundays. And it will be read, and there will be comments made concerning what we believe is the mind and the will of God. So this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like for us to consider a subject, and not very often is this subject spoken of, but believe. I do know that each one of you as a believer, you are perfectly assured that this will happen. Now, you know, sometimes we get so focused and carried away about how great it's going to be to go to heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. We believe that. That soul that departs this life and knows the Lord, absent from the body, and it seems like the Apostle Paul just opens it up and present with the Lord. Present with the Lord. That's wonderful. But you know, something else will happen before you experience the full joy of your salvation and being with the Lord. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It carries with it what can be wrongly interpreted by many people. Oh, so believers will be judged. Thought that was all taken care of when Christ died upon the cross. Thought that took care of that completely. Well, it did as far as the eternal salvation of your soul is concerned. No question about that. No question about that. What he did was a finished work of doing the mind and the will of God, and every soul that would trust him, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, blessed Holy Son of God. All of our sins are forgiven when we trust him, because why is it? He died for all of our sins.
and we are accepted in him. But as believers, the Apostle Paul is setting before the church at Corinth something that they needed to hear. In the very opening verses of this third chapter, you read these words, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Sometimes you have to honestly say to some of God's people, why don't you grow up? Why don't you mature? Why don't you read the Word of God? Please, read the Word of God. People become so enamored with listening to preachers, sometimes fellowship together, talking about things. You know, I notice the Bible is never open. I encourage you, read the Word of God for yourself. You'd be surprised how much you learn reading the Bible and letting the Spirit of God, the greatest of all teachers, and you have that resident teacher in you as a believer. And listen, he can teach you things that are in the Word of God and in the mind of God, things you need to know. And it won't have that mark, perhaps, of some preacher's interpretation upon what it says. You will get a direct interpretation as to what it means as the Spirit of God leads and guides you. Now, this is not a put down of preaching. It's needed. This church, you know, felt like that preaching was, Paul says, counted it as foolishness. Not exactly that preaching was foolishness, but the message was foolish sometimes to these people. They had different ideas. But we need to look at what God has to say in His Word concerning what it's going to be like for you and me as believers. Once we leave this life and go to be with the Lord, and our Lord has come in that wonderful, glorious event of coming to take His people home. It's called the rapture. The word's not mentioned in Scripture, but that don't keep us from understanding what's going to happen. He will come again. That's exactly what He said. I'm going away for a little while, but don't let your heart be troubled. I'm coming again. In the meantime, He has sent the Spirit of God, the Holy Comforter, to speak to our hearts. As I said, He resides in us. We're indwelt, hopefully filled with the Spirit of God, that we might interpret these very important things. The church at Corinth, lacking in real spiritual understanding of the mind and the will of God, is what was lying in the future for them. They pay a price for that. If you don't know something, you know, that old saying, what you don't know won't hurt you. You know that's a lie. My mama told me to keep my hand off that stove, but I had to find out, and I put my hand on the stove, and I got burnt. What you don't know won't hurt you, that's a lie. I tell you, what you do know about God's will and way will be a tremendous benefit to you. So as a believer, you will never, 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 and I mean never, stand before God and be judged for the penalty of your sin. I'll tell you why, just in case you don't know. Someone has already experienced, he that knew no sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, he hung upon a cross. And there upon that cross, God in His wrath and judgment against sin allowed the Lamb of God, the Son of God, to pay the penalty for your sin and my sin. And it will never be repeated. Never, never, never will it be repeated. Once He has died for our sins. Once we have accepted Him, God laid upon Him the penalty of our sins. God laid upon Him His wrath, His judgment. It's because He happened to be His Son, the Son that He loved so dearly, did not cause Him for one moment to diminish the severity of that wrath and that judgment that your sin and my sin deserve. Jesus Christ paid it all. And the little chorus says, and all to Him we owe, and brother and sister in Christ, we owe Him everything. Paul said, I tell you what, you want to do something well-pleasing to God as a believer. Present your body. Present your total being to God and let Him take care of guiding and directing you through this life. It's a perilous course. It's one indeed that sometimes there's so many things that are going to happen along the way, but with His help, His guidance and His direction, and relying upon that wisdom that comes from above, we can have our pathway, as He said, put our feet upon the pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. God benefits from it when we understand and we obey what He would have us to do. I'll say this in regard to this subject. One lady told me, I had never really heard that or understood that. And now that you've told me, I wish you hadn't told. Can you believe that? I really didn't want to know. I really didn't want to know that. Well, that's the way God is. He's right up front with us. He tells us everything we need to know. Now, just to be sure that Paul knew what he was talking about and emphasize this, turn over just for a moment before we go on with this to the 2 Corinthians and look in the 5th chapter and there's a statement here so that you will know for certain that what we're talking about will take place. In the 10th verse he says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone, every believer, may receive the things done in his body according that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the fear of the Lord which is great men, that we are made manifest unto God, and our trust also are made manifest in your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them with glory and appearance and not in heart. Or whether we be beside ourselves, it is God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. You see, the real reason why Paul even brought up this matter is because God's people need to know. I want you to know. I want you to know something. I don't want you to be in the dark. So often we say, well, it's not real clear. Well, He will make it clear. And again, I ask you to please consider very seriously. Read the Word of God for yourself. Have a daily time. I'm one that follows the scripture outlines that the Scripture Union puts out. Some old organizations been doing this for years and years, and they are really good. But one of the things they're emphasizing right now is to get people to read the Word of God. I couldn't emphasize that too much. Read the Word for yourself. I like to hear someone come to me and say, you know, I was reading in the Bible the other day, and this is what it says. And then share with you something that they found out for themselves from the Word of God. Never knew that before, but I found it out for myself. It's like digging for treasure. It's like finding something Nobody had to find it for me. I found it for myself. I couldn't emphasize again how much more it will mean to you if you find it for yourself. Nobody had to tell me this. I found this glorious truth for myself. All right, getting down to verse 12, and this is where we're going to read this morning. He says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, he's speaking about that foundation which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Son, of God, the foundational stone for the building of the church, the body of Christ, stone by stone upon this foundation. He said, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Don't forget that. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Then man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, beloved, I said at the very outset, what I am about to say does not concern the eternal destiny of your soul. The judgment and the wrath of God has already been perfectly satisfied concerning the sin question. Do you understand that? The sin question has been settled when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, hanging upon that cross. Oh, that was a horrible experience. My God, why have you forsaken me? He went into the depths, the very depths and despondency of being forsaken of God, his Father, for you and for me, paying the penalty for our sins. And there'd never be another question raised about whether we are fit for the presence of God. We're children of God. We're in the family of God. Oh, I know it's just a simple illustration, but have you ever known a family in which there were children, and some of those children got out of line and disobeyed their parents, and they abandoned them? Put them in the car and took them out to some country road and dropped them off and said, you're on your own because you disobeyed. Oh, no. Oh, no. Children in a family with a name, with a background, an ancestry, know that they belong in that family relationship. You change your name and do anything you want to, but you will always be what you were when you were born into the world. Your mom and papa, they're always going to be your mom and papa, and you won't ever have another mom and papa. But when you are born again into the family of God, do you think that would change? Certainly not. We are entered into a relationship with God, which is eternal. So when we speak of judgment for sin, that's not what we're talking about this morning. That's already been settled. I'm a child of God. I die, I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. But I tell you what, there's something else I need to be concerned about. You know how that word work is emphasized in this passage? Did you understand when we read in 2 Corinthians that each one of us personally will appear at the judgment seat of Christ? It's going to take place, brother and sister, before we get to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to stand before Him. And what we've done with our lives as believers will be put under examination. Oh, the one that looked at our lives and what we've done with our lives since the day He saved us, since we became His possession, I like to think about it like that. We're not our own. We were purchased with a price. The purchased blood of Christ. Oh, brother, we're in the family of God. I'm a child of God. I can say that with authority. I can say that based upon the Word of God. Nothing can change that. Nothing. You say, but I sinned. He made provision for that too. He said, if we sin, do something. Be honest with God and confess it. And say, Lord, I have sinned. And Scripture says, he who is faithful and just, he will forgive you of your sin that you've committed as a believer. And accept you back into the fellowship and communion that he wants to enjoy with each one of us all the days of our life. But what are we doing with this life of ours? We have life. We have physical life. We have talent. We have resources. What are we doing with all of it? Have we equipped ourselves to just live in this world and give of all of our resources, all of our strength, all of our talents to the world? Or have we prepared ourselves to be a true worshiper of the true and the living God? I tell you, for a while this morning, about an hour in this very room, God's people, they were reaching out and touching, they were drawing nigh unto God, and he drew nigh unto us. And it was blessed. It was precious. I urge you as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, please, take very seriously that invitation. Visit them and minister to me. The communion table, yes! It's called the breaking of the bread. Coming together to remember Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his body was broken upon the cross, blood was shed. We need to do that. Draw nigh unto him. Is that the focus of our lives, to do what we can to please him? You know, the best way to please God is to do what he tells you to do. Obedient children are happy children. We find that out in our own family relationships. Some of the most unhappy people I've ever seen are those that wouldn't do what the parents wanted them to do and trained them to do. And sometimes they carry that on into their lives. That's all they know. It seems like they're always running contrary to what they've been taught to do. So I wanted to make that strong difference between God's judgment in these different aspects of his judgment. And so I mentioned first the judgment of God against sin, which fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. And all the waves and billows in the words of Scripture. God's wrath against sin passed over his holy soul. That judgment was borne completely by the Lord Jesus Christ. Divine judgment was exhausted. You say, it's finished. It's finished. And there was another sign. The veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. God satisfied. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. There ain't but one way to heaven anymore. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Anybody that's trying to get to heaven by any other way other than through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is barking up the wrong tree. You need to go to the foot of the cross and look up into the face of the one that hung upon the tree and pay the penalty for your sin. And that's where you need to settle the sin question. But now, to do the mind and the will of God, what are you doing with your life, brother and sister? Man, don't think I wasn't thinking about this when I was reading and looking at this and thinking about what we would say. Yeah, I am, an old man. What is it about your life that you can think of that might be well pleasing to the Lord? I got positive right off. I didn't beat around the bush. I said, what is there about my life? What work have I done? What have I been engaged in that is well-pleasing to the Lord? You know, in most cases, I just say, I don't know. Though at best, I could say, I tried. I tried. Well, at least I tried. I said, Lord, here am I. Use me if you can. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and fashion me after your way. But this kind of judgment that comes in this situation, this second judgment that we're going to mention, the judgment seat of Christ, it deals with your whole attitude about whether you truly belong to God or not. You know, there's a struggle, a spiritual struggle going on in the world. We're reminded of it continually when you read the scripture. That put on the whole armor of God? Yes. That you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Yes. We're under attack? Yes. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the Spirit of God indwells us, fills us. And we can become more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Lord, what would you have me to do? We just read that this week. We're having our devotionals in the book of the Acts. And the Apostle Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? That blinding light. This man that was so opposed to the person of Christ, wanted to blot out the name of Christ, wanted to persecute and hurt anybody and everybody that even said they trusted him as being the Son of God. What are you going to do with your life? Well, it's going to be made manifest. When the church has been raptured home, and there we all assemble, I honestly can't answer this one. Will it be done openly, or will it be done privately? I don't know. I don't bother myself with those things. I know it's going to happen, whether it's privately, or everybody will be looking on and say, yeah, I know, old Bob. He thought he was doing the mind, the will of God, and all of that. But look, it wasn't as important as he thought it was. And that may happen to a lot of us, beloved. And that's why we need to shape up. That's why we need to inquire, look within our soul. Because if we're not putting the quite right kind of material into this building program that God has for us, the things that are important, putting Christ first, giving him the preeminent place in your life, being a coward when it comes to being a witness for him. You know what our government is doing today by suppressing the spread of God's word and that liberty that we would like to see happen, in which if a child wants to offer up a prayer, If a teacher in a classroom wants to offer up a prayer for her students that have the freedom to do that, but all of these things are being suppressed today. God wants us to have open hearts and souls toward him and be making of our lives something that is for his glory and his honor. Because we don't, when we stand before him, and your life and my life, God places some value upon what we're doing with our lives. I remember an illustration I heard one time, I'm not sure, I believe it was Van Patten, that he talked about going to the old country fair. And it used to be, when country people went to a fair, you know, you start with the women, those, recipes they had for making and doing things with the food stuff that were on the farm, they brought them with them. And they had all those things displayed there for you to look at. And those pies and cakes, and they had judges, and there were the kids, you know, that kid that had those chickens or that calf or whatever it was, and they wanted it to win a prize. They had done a work. And here were the men folk with that prize bull that he brought along and all of those other things. And there they were on display, and there were judges there, and they made a determination about who had the best. You know, I don't read in this passage that anybody is trying to be first. I want to have the very best life that a person can have under the control and the direction of God to present to him at the judgment seat of Christ. I never heard anybody say that, did you? Well, I'll take any old thing, you know. I'm very humble. I know I'm not very much. What are you trying to do? You are a prized possession of God. You're a member of the family of God. You're one of those living stones that's been put in the building of the church, the body of Christ. And he's interested in you. And when we read about this manifestation is going to declare whether you get the fire or you get the reward. Fire in Scripture always speaks of judgment. That's what we're talking about, the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to refine your life and my life like it's never been refined before. Some of those things that we're engaged in today, brothers and sisters, and we think they're all important. I'll tell you, the description of them is scary. You don't want them to get around the fire. I tell you what, if you take these materials that are likened unto hay, how about hay? Dry grass. Stuff that it will ignite just like that. It's gone. You don't want to put that under the fire. If that's what you're doing with your life, you're so frothy. And it's just, you're so happy as a Christian. You're always smiling and you always got a nice word and so forth. How about some depth within the soul? You're contributing something to the body of Christ, and indeed, it's not like that wood and hay and stubble, but it's like gold and silver, something that's already been tried in the fire. That picture of our Lord Jesus Christ, say in the book of Revelation, first chapter, and the metallurgic description of him and how he was a shining, glorious, something like no man had never seen before. Do we want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? We better work on our image, hadn't we? We better work on our image. The things that I'm going after in life, God treats them as being something that's very precious. Gold, silver, precious stone. You know, he's the only one that can make a proper judgment about that. I don't have to make that judgment. I don't have to make that judgment. I had something that I wanted to read. Let me see if I can find it. Yes, here it is. You see, look at this spiritual building, the church, the body of Christ. It's growing every day. Every time a believer, every time someone bows the knee and accepts the Son of God as their Savior, he's a living stone. He's been added to the body, that spiritual body, the church. The church. The church is people, in case you don't know. That ecclesia, those members, living members, they're sanctified, they're set apart for the glory of God. This building that God thinks so highly of says,
view the vast building, see it rise. I'm a part of it. I'm a member of that body, that building that God is engaged, his building program. The work, oh, how great it is. The plan, how wise it is. Isn't it wonderful that you have that kind of wisdom dealing with us and fitting us for his presence? Isn't it wonderful? Absolutely. We may not agree with it. We may say, this is hard. This is hard. No, it's easy if you let him do it in and through you. Oh, wondrous fabric. Power unknown. That lets all of this rest upon the living stone. That foundation stone which is Christ, our blessed Holy Redeemer. I'm on that foundation, brother. You on that foundation? You trusted Christ as your Savior. You're on the foundation. You're a part of God's building program. We want you to be very careful how you live your life, conduct your affairs. He's interested in you and me. We're predestined to be conformed in her image and likeness of the Son of God. Let's start working on it now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning that we're willing to come face to face with what the Word of God says about us as believers in the Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. This morning we know that one day we're going to stand in his presence. We're going to stand before him. It will be a time in which everything about each one of us in this room will be made manifest. No hiding anything anymore, Lord. No putting on of any front, Lord. It'll all be open to thee. Help us to be faithful and true to our commitment. When we say we love you, Lord, grant that each one of us in our hearts will say, yes, Lord, and I'll do what you ask me to do. May it be so. For the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Number 153 in your chorus books. Let's just stand and sing that short chorus. With eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, may I do each day's work for Jesus with eternity's values in view. Number 153 in the chorus.